come to God, you want to get resolved. You must first of all know that it's the existence of me. You have a love to you, and there's a covenant backing you up.
You believe on the one saying, not your circumstance.
Blessed is the man who does not listen to the advice.
Teaching it right.
Hallelujah. All the glory be to God. 1 Timothy chapter number 4, verse 15. Wow. Glory be to God. The Bible says, meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them, that your progress may be evident to everybody. Now, we've been talking about kingdom success. We got our text from Joshua, the first chapter and the 8th verse. And the Lord said, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then you will make your way prosperous, and you will have good success. And we were apt to identify that your success and my success are not up to God. They are up to us. People don't like such statements because they pin us at the corner. They put responsibilities on our table. And I've warned you about something as your pastor. When a prophetic word comes, we're telling you what God will do. When we teach, we're telling you what you should do to align. Because God doesn't talk about what he has not finished. If it's not happening, if it's not manifesting, there is something wrong with our positioning. He declares the end from the beginning. It is what he has finished that he talks about. So, the bulk of our success rests on our table. You shall make your way prosperous, and you will have good success. So Apostle Paul operated a little bit, or let me say I operate a little bit the way Apostle Paul operated. In terms of, it wasn't like Apostle Peter that was the Pope of the church who resided in Jerusalem. He moved from place to place. He started the Lauren church and then moved to Abuja, started the Abuja church. And then we walk with the man of God in Lagos, established Lagos church, and then moved back to Abuja, and then established another branch, and then moved to another branch. So he went to a place called Ephesus, and had preached to the people that were there. But when he was leaving, instead of leaving with everybody he went with, he left a young man called Timothy there. Timothy, according to Bible scholars, was 17 years old. When he was leaving, he was crying. When Apostle Paul was leaving, he was shedding tears because he was so young, and then he was so clinged to his pastor. So Apostle Paul was giving him secrets that will make him never to fail. This is not something he was telling him so that he could just give him instructions. He was telling him things that if he did them, he would never fail. God was telling Joshua in Joshua 1:8, what Joshua could do as a normal person that will make him never to fail. God is always meeting normal people and turning them, like making ordinary people do extraordinary things. I could feel God saying, Joshua, if you were there the day I called Moses, I know you are jittery to step into the shoes of Moses, because you've never opened the Red Sea before, you've never brought out water out of the flinty rock before. If you were there the day I met Moses, you would know that you're even better off right now. You have seen things. Moses only heard of me, never met me, he never saw anybody who did these things that you already saw that I did with Moses. So I'm putting a secret in your hand. Only thou be strong and be very courageous. And the only way to be courageous and be strong is that this book of the law must not depart from your mouth. And then when you do these things, You will make whatever you lay your hands to do to prosper. And you will have good success. So there are forces that augment our success. There are forces that augment our success. No doubt about that. No doubt about that. I will mention a couple to us. Today, I'm sharing with you about the force of focus. It's a force. Did you know that even if what you're about to achieve, God is not part of it, there's a degree of focus that will give you a degree of success. Genesis 11 verse 6. The people are one. And they have the same language. They are focused. This thing, this definite thing they started to do. Now, nothing that they propose to do will be withheld from them, even though they're against my will. And now, despite the fact that I'm God, if I am going to stop them, the only thing I can do, not one of the things, the only thing I can do is to break their focus. So let me scatter their language so that they don't understand their language anymore. And once they don't understand their language, they break focus. If husband and wife can maintain focus, it doesn't matter the course you read. It doesn't matter the job you're on. It doesn't matter your level of finance. You will do well. Now, this is a very difficult generation because there are a lot of things that didn't exist that they are bringing and dropping on your table, and they are deliberate templates. You see children of billionaires going around and taking pictures of birds. And that's their profession. And they're doing well. They're not just doing it. They are showcasing a template. Most of the things you see on social media are deliberate. It was deliberate that every soap opera will have a gay scene in it. It's deliberate that, you know, every single thing is deliberate. So you see somebody who is really doing well. I remember the first time I went to South Africa, second time, and they were talking about blogging. And they were talking about the fact that someone is a blogger. I was just wondering, what are they talking about? Is that what he does for a living? So he goes around in sheep. It was in all the magazines. They were pushing that stuff. There's nothing they would do. You wouldn't first of all see the movie. You will see the movie before you see the reality, because they need to sell it. So this is the generation that they are pushing what is called passive income. They're pushing passive income. And there's nothing wrong with passive income except for the fact that the people that are successfully operating on that dimension did not start being passive. So if you start right now, go and look at this guy that, you know, did Tesla. He started with PayPal and you know, he sold that stuff, churned the money into something else. He's not a passive CEO. He still goes to work. Look at Warren Buffett. He's 90 something years old right now. Fourth richest person. He's still not passive. But they make passive money because they're out of being active. It's just like me right now, even the small level where I am. I can become passive and not be hungry all the days of my life. That guy sold PayPal for $200 million. If he did not want to work again, how much of food does he want to? He still turned it around. He's not passive. So someone can tell you now, be a blogger, be a YouTuber, be this. How many of them make the kind of money that all those seminars you attend, the projections they give to you, how many of them actually make it? We have a 2% or a 5% that do it. But incidentally and apparently, you're not part of the 5%. That's why you need to listen to me. There is nothing that can stand against persistence. Nothing. Diligence, persistence, pushing on a spot. A young man overheard his sister-in-law telling, his sister-in-law to be telling the fiancé that don't marry that guy, he's going to die poor. So he tried to sneak the picture of the sister-in-law to be and put it in his office. Anytime he wants to be weak while he's walking, he looks at that picture and strength comes back to him. There is nothing like persistence. The Bible says Jesus Christ, for the joy is set in front of him. He felt the pain on the cross, but something served as an analgesic to him on the cross because of what he had in front of him as focus. You're looking here and there. That is why you're not able to endure the pains of the cross. You're not able to pay some price. I think people don't tell you their full story, or maybe they forget the processes. But there is nothing that will be worthwhile that will not go through a process. That is why pound of yam is different from a pounded yam. There is process that is different. Somebody shout process. Nothing can stand persistence. Nothing. On this earth. It doesn't matter how weak you are. I'm sure you've seen your sink in the house. Maybe you didn't repair it and just a drop of water was landing on a spot before you knew what was happening. It created a stain on the spot. If you allow it, that little drop is going to puncture the ceramic. It's not the gush of water at once, but the come on, talk to me, somebody. There's something about the power of consistency. I went somewhere recently to preach. And ministers, I told my protocol, I said, who are these people? They said, they're pastors. All of them came to see you. I said, what? What? And the quintessential question is, Pastor Biodo, what is the secret? What am I going to tell you standing here in 1 minute? I said, first of all, what I do, I don't think I'm there yet. Two, whatever you like is 21 years of waking up, sleeping, waking up, sleeping, doing the same thing different ways, using different methods as they're coming, and pushing on the same spot for 21 years. I said, if a child is 21 years, by now she should be getting ready to get married. I said, so there's no way, if you're doing it consistently, that you'll not be better at it, that you're not, more people will not, in fact, some people will even look at you and say, just, they've never heard you, just because they've known you since when they were in school. They never heard you. They saw you on TV, they didn't pay attention, but we used to see, just because you've been around for a while, they believe in you, that if you were not convinced about what you were doing, you wouldn't be doing the same thing for a long time. But today, you are a blogger. Tomorrow, and I understand this generation that we multitask. I know the Z generation, even the Y generation, even the generation X, we multitask. Generation Z is worse because in the morning, they work in the office, in the afternoon, they are gym instructors. At night, they are bartenders. And they have energy. So I'm not trying to say that you are like us. And I'm not saying you're like our fathers. But what I'm trying to say is, in having such energy, you need to manage your energy for the long haul. Because some things don't just work in the short term. And this is one thing affecting the labor markets today, because of restlessness. So you must learn how to manage it. And learn to, whoever you're following, first of all, talking to younger people, I always see that they forget that there's a huge age gap between them and the people that they are trying to contend with. Let me give you an example. I was talking to someone today, and we were talking about another individual. I said, this individual is 53 years old. This person is doing well. Healthy and everything. And the person said, oh, that's who I'm going to be. Then I calculated the age of the person I was talking to. I said, that's 25 years time. In 25 years time, if you look like that, you have done well for yourself. You've forgotten that in 25 years' time, that person you trivialize the exploit and you just judge what they do. If you calculate the difference between you and them, you will look at them as a guy. Try to still be relevant. And think about 25 years or 20 years after now, where you will be. With the way you act, the way you do what you do, your push, your drive, even though there are more opportunities now. And the structure right now is wired for passive success. In other words, there will be experienced investors you can put your money into, you know, like a railway line, like a private electric company, that's where we're headed to. That while you're walking, you can do that. I was talking to a young man, you know what he told me? I'm going to save my rented house and buy houses for short stay. It's just running while I'm doing my work. I won't change my car. I'll be in a rented house. But those ones are just making money. I was talking to another younger person who is my protege in America. And he said to me, Pastor, by 30, I'm going to be a millionaire. And I said, how? And he told me how. He drew the map for me. He says he's going to be saving X amount of dollars every week from his pocket money. When he calculated it for me, and he got to a level and told me the amount they get from investment right now in a certain company, he said, when it gets to this amount, I'm going to throw it here. And Pastor, by age 35, I'm going to have $2.5 million. And it was plain on paper. Because it's wired for passive income. But this guy talking is his fourth generation billionaires. His great grandfather, his grandfather, his father is a billionaire. But it doesn't spoil them. It makes them to work and they pay them in their company. So he knows there are things he can fall into. So we have to know that there is no substitute to diligence and persistence. It is persistence that makes you have a million naira in the account and you comfortably drink gari. Yes, and everybody's pitying you. Yes, when we were at this day dome, a friend of mine came to visit me, and then when he was done talking to me, he told me he wanted to see some other pastors in town. And then he went to that pastor. When he got to that pastor's office, he met some other pastors. And they said, oh, that's your friend. That boy is not serious. How can he be in this day dome? Do you know how much they pay them? He's not serious. He doesn't have a land. He doesn't have anything. He's not serious. He's going to waste his time there and implode. Meanwhile, we had built foundation already here. There are people who don't know what you do, they just look at you on the surface. Bottom line is, know what you are doing. Don't wait for things to happen. Plan and make things happen. And the name of the game, if you are a first generation getting out of that vicious cycle, the name of the game will be sacrifice. You will need to be deliberate and sacrifice. One of the greatest blessings in our nation today is lack of credit. Suicide would have been on the increase. There would have been a lot of mess. Marriages would have broken. But even at that, I wanted to make up your mind to embrace a concept called delayed gratification. Delayed gratification. You may be able to do it. But when you do it, it's going to affect some other things. So you hold back till the time that when you do it, you don't even know that you did it. Are you all still here? You may decide not to go for a holiday. You will not die. Everybody's going for a holiday. You know, Nigeria is a place where when you travel, you take many pictures you don't post. I think I want to go to real people here. You take many pictures you don't post. So that When people start putting you under pressure, are you not traveling? You just give one. Yeah. You better leave friends that put you under pressure. One of the major decisions I made in my life was never to have friends I'm running rat race with. I've been in Abuja for how many years now? Since 2008. 12? I've only stepped into 3 churches in my life. 3. Not because I hate them. I'm busy. I told my mom, I said, I wish I could have 25 hours. Do you know how many people I apologize to every day? I'm busy. I have targets. I put myself on targets. Things I need to achieve. One of the reasons why you're not original is that you're not focused. Can I talk to you? What you don't have, you don't need. You would need wisdom to be able to listen to me when I'm talking about success, because all I've done all my life is ministry. So you must have the smartness to be able to take what I'm teaching you and take it into your business. So in ministry, for example, there are many ways to do ministry. You can have music. You can have prayer anointing. You can have healing anointing. You can have a teaching gift. You can have administrative gift. The one that is not prevalent in your ministry, you don't need it. That's why God didn't give you. And I understand that the Bible says we should covet spiritual gift. But you try to covet it, it's not flowing. Leave them. It is because God feels, and you're not the one actually using it. He's the one using it. He's thinking, this tool, I don't want to use it here. Because the tool I use for foundation is different from the one I use for windows. It's different from the one I use for roof. Don't insist that you want to use a sledgehammer to do roof. You may damage your roof. So there's a wife of a prophet that came to the prophet Elisha and said, you know your servant was a holy man of God. Before he died, he was indebted. And now my sons are the collateral and they want to take them. And the prophet looked at her and said, what do you have? What are we use to do miracles, to take it to where you belong? Is what is already in your house. It will be an external thing. It's already there. Look at your neighbor and say, what we explode you is already with you right now. But you know what you do? Because you move everywhere. You are looking at other people's stuff. You're looking at other people's stuff and you're not paying attention to yourself. And God doesn't give finished product, He gives raw. No matter how much you have, you need to work on it. That's why you require persistence to take it to where it becomes marketable, where you can turn it into finance. So God met Moses and was going to use him as the first deliverer of his people. And Moses had this tall complaint. And guess what the question God asked him? After all his complaint, what is that in your hand? Look at your neighbor and say, what is in your hand? There's something in your hand. Come on, you're not helping me to preach. Say, what is that thing in your hand? Moses said, ordinary rod. Sometimes I'm even stretching it to these animals. They're not even listening. Ordinary rod. You are sending me to Moses, to Pharaoh. God said, throw it down. Until you release it towards the assignment. You don't know what is inside that stuff. Come on, talk to me, somebody. I'm preaching better than you're responding to me. There's something in your house. There's something. Bible says we're lively stones. There's something in your life. The gift of a man. Guess what? There's no room. But it will make room. Which means there are rooms that don't exist right now that is waiting to be made when you show up. Because, listen, the reason why your industry is not popular is basically because you've not showed up. Yes, pastoring, before some of us, you know, came up, was not glamorous. You couldn't tell your father-in-law that you're a pastor full-time. When I started pastoring, they won't give you a wife. That industry is not glamorous because you've not showed up. The creation is groaning, waiting for your manifestation. The word manifestation means you're revealing, not revelation, you're revealing. your uncovery. I prophesy to you. You will do well. I say you will do well. In the name of Jesus. So Apostle Paul told his son, he said, please give yourself entirely to this thing. Look at the KJV of 1 Timothy 4:15. Give yourself entirely to this thing. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear. Which means it was not manifested, yes, but there are things you will do that your relevance starts to come up. Whatever it is in your hand, for Timothy, it was ministry. Whatever it is that you sense that God is having, he places in you. He said, whatever your hand finds, that's where I'm going to start with you. Give yourself entirely to this, that your profiting may appear unto all. So yesterday I saw a video of Oprah Winfrey interviewing Obama. Was it Obama? Yeah. And they did a chroma key. Obama was in his home. Oprah Winfrey was in her home. And they first of all played a game. And then they did the chroma key. And it was like they were in the same room. Do you know that I know more than 10 churches that have that equipment, including your church? So I called my guys, and they are one of the best. I said, what did they do? They said, oh, this is what they did. I said, we're doing it next. Yeah. Then I said, can you guys see why America is first? The same thing. They sit with it. And begin to, you see, that's the difference between humans and animals. And begin to look at different sides. There's a way they would even use that equipment. Even the manufacturer would say, wow, I didn't even see that. They sit with it. I said there are more than, let me be conservative, more than 20 churches, not even talk about other organizations, not talk about TV stations in Nigeria that have that equipment. Maybe better. Because we can buy equipment in Africa. Particularly your pastor. If there's a new one, I want to change the former one. And because we have branches. Look at the Amplified version of 1 Timothy 4:15. Quickly. Glory be to God. Amplifies this practice and cultivate and meditate upon these duties. Look at the next phrase. Throw yourself. How? Wholly into them. So that your progress may be evident to everybody. Timothy, for you to have a break in ministry, for people to notice the grace that is within you, you must throw yourself wholly into that thing that you're doing. So that your progress can show. I asked the young man, I said, well, you know the one that chose what you said you wanted to do. So why are you one leg in, one leg out? You chose, you said God told you to do this. You believe that is what you are here to do. So why are you one leg in, one leg out? Look at the Message translation, and then we'll read the New Living Translation, and then we'll start to fire forward. Cultivate these things. Immerse yourself in them. Look at your neighbor as a neighbor. You see that thing you told me you want to do for a living? I'm going to fight you. If you don't immerse yourself into them, it is sharing, not in money, lolly. It is with your work I can tell whether you are lazy or effective, or you are just a lazy brat. It is your work. You see, four friends. They are not even challenging themselves about diligence. They are abusing uncle and that guy. Oh, they even met someone in church. They are abusing that he didn't sponsor them. What is wrong with you? If they do it, glory be to God. God can use anybody, and God will use somebody. But put yourself into it. Throw yourself into it. That your profiting may appear unto all. So you may need to clarify and say, is this thing I'm doing really what I want to do? Particularly that you're multi-talented. Even if it is a goal behind the goal, you must throw yourself into it. New Living Translations for 1 Timothy 4:15. New Living Translation. Everybody clear your throats. Ready? Read. Throw yourself what? Into your task. Throw yourself into your task so that everyone will see your progress. For you to see, for everyone to see your progress in the career, your career path, you must throw yourself into it. Find somebody who is doing well in it. Maybe somebody in the U.S., they may never meet you. Look at their degrees. Take those courses one after the other. That's the path. It doesn't have two heads. I said it does not have two heads. If I have time, I will share with you the force of success, education, the force of success. There's some things that they won't find out whether or not you can do it until they've discovered your degree. And if you could do it, they can underpay you. If they discover that you're not a professional, a consultant, certified in that area. Isaiah 50 verse 7, very popular scripture in Koza. We're reading the New Living Translation. It says, because the sovereign Lord helps me, I will not be disgraced. And therefore, did you hear that? Because the sovereign Lord helps me. So on Sunday, we spoke about God helping us. We invoked help and we settled it. That we're now initiated as people helped by God. So, but because the sovereign Lord helps me, number one, I know I won't be disgraced. If I'm selling sand, I will stand out. If I'm selling stone, I will stand out. If I'm a mechanic, I will stand out. So because of that, I maintain focus. I maintain focus because I know that God, His blessings upon me only reveals through the work of my hand. So I maintain focus. I set my face like a flint and determined to do His will. In other words, the career path He chooses for me, the purpose He chooses for me is my will. I don't just do things because it's popular. I set my faith. I put my all in it. And God looks at my faithfulness and rewards my faithfulness. Hallelujah. Are you all still here? I want to read something to you that will bless you. Calvin Coolidge says, nothing in this world can take the place of persistence. Talent will not. Position will not. Nothing, watch this. Are you making notes? Nothing is more common like unsuccessful men with talents. Nothing is more common with unsuccessful men with talents. So please call me with me as we begin to build up. Hebrews chapter number 2 and verse 1. Hebrews chapter number 2 and verse 1. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter number 2 verse 1, therefore we must give more earnest heed. We must pay more attention. Look at me, everybody. There's a price to be paid. But what is the price to be paid? Attention. When life begins to give you some reward and they ask you, what did you pay? Tell them attention. What we pay is attention. Attention. The Bible says, come and buy. But come and buy without money. So what am I supposed to come with? Thirst. Drive. Attention. Ask anybody who is successful and they are able to sustain it. They will tell you they have a drive. How fast you run depends on what is chasing you. If a cat was chasing you, you can jog. If you saw a lion, you will not believe how much you can run. Some of you have heard the story before of an old man who used to walk like this. So he sat under the tree one day. An old oak tree. As they were talking, they just heard, wah! The tree fell. Everybody took off. They already got to that junction before they remembered. They said, ha! This old man is dead. What are we going to do? They saw Baba at Gilmore. How fast you run depends on what is chasing you. The Bible says we must pay earnest heed. Are you all still here? Look at that. Hebrews chapter 2 verse 1. Therefore we must give the more earnest heed to these things that we have heard, lest they drift away. Verse 3. Verse 3 says, how shall we escape if we neglect this so great a salvation? I know the scholarly sons of Gamaliel will say, contextually, is that what the Bible is saying? There's something called statute of general application. Principles jump out of the Bible to me every minute. How shall you escape poverty if you neglect prosperity message? How shall you neglect irrelevance if you are not diligent? If you don't want to fizzle out, face your work. If you don't want to face out, F-H-A-S-E, you don't want to face out, F-A-C-E, your work, face your work. If you don't want to face out, face your work. How shall we escape if we abandon, if we neglect? So there's something about focus. There's something about when we pay attention. There's something about when we pack our strength and put it in one basket. I know that some of you have never seen the kind of brooms, the broom that I used to sweep when I was younger. I know some of you in Koza have never seen. So let me describe them to you. There's this brown kind of thing, like strands. So they pack them together and they tie it with a rope. How many have seen that kind of stuff before? Really? Because I know you're vacuum kind of people. But there's something in Africa called broom. Amen. In those days, if your mom was as effective as my mom, they had the ones that were not too long. You had to bend to sweep. Are we all still here? Very effective. They saw cockroach. Go and bring broom. Wah! Anything. Sometimes if you annoy mommy and the thing is around, you may be a victim. But as effective as the broom could look, once you remove what packs it together, it becomes vulnerable. Sometimes you want to light your gas. You just take one. You break it. Bah, bah, bah. You use it to make kite. You use it to make anything. Because one of you break it when they are not together. When your strength is not packed together, the enemy can dissipate your energy. You think I'm doing everything. I'm multitasking. I'm everywhere. I'm jumping around. I'm there. 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 But no effectiveness. If you hold a knife, the sharpest part of the knife is the thinnest. That's where we got the word cutting edge. If it's going to be sharp, it should be thin. Paul says, one thing I do. The reason why you see a lot of people do many things is that they succeeded at one thing. The moment you succeed at one thing, even people they will come to you, they want to involve you in other things. You have enough capital, you have staff base, you have experience base. But at the beginning, he didn't do many things. Because once you succeed at one thing, very easy. Think about it. You work for the government, right? And you are in your office. And King's on here, who you've been listening to growing up. Maybe you grew up in the West. Just walked in. He's now called the king of a genre of music. Existed for so long, he's a living legend. And he gets there. In fact, from downstairs, you'll be hearing noise. From downstairs. So he says, he's in your office. So what do you want? So, well, there's a land that I want allocated to me. You will see it. Why? He has succeeded in one area. You break protocols for him. So now he can do many things. Am I talking? But if at the beginning he didn't face that one thing, he wanted to do many things, he will end up just being an average in everything. So there's a lot of first things first. What I want to encourage you is to be persistent at that thing you are convinced you're supposed to do. That's why as a lawyer, you can go into real estate. Nobody will try you. Somebody told me to come and buy a certain land. I went there and they told me, oh, that part has been cut off by that neighbor. I said, well, it's your land. They said, oh, he's a lawyer. I said, huh? He said, no, he's a son. And we don't want his wala. I'm not saying it's right to do that, but there's a level you get to. Everybody just, you know, kind of, you know, just say, oh, okay, that's him. Colossians chapter 4, verse 17. There is no way you can be a pastor and not eat the scripture. Say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which you have received from the Lord and fulfill it. Amplified Bible. My pastor ran a series on this for months. Say to Archippus. Nobody in my church who did not know that. See that you discharge carefully the duties of ministry and fulfill it. You must pay attention to it. You don't just succeed in ministry by just saying I'm called and harassing us that you saw seven angels. If you don't give attention to it, many are called, only few are chosen at the end of the day. And it runs through the same thing. Business, because it's not only those in ministry that are called. They are called politicians. They are called movie makers. There are people called in the banking industry and the financial industry. If you don't pay attention, you must take heed to yourself that you fulfill that ministry. There is nothing that can stand the force of persistence. Somebody shout focus. Come and say focus. 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 16. 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 16. Glory be to God. You know, I happen to be a pastor. And I want to tell you the truth. I want something that can work for you. I know what to say and this place will be upside down. And it's not a lie. It's the truth, but it's half. This, you must pay attention. If I have time, I can do an experiment for you. I'll tell you to write seven things you like to do. And we streamline. And we hit one. That one. For now, pay attention. Maybe some of you didn't know how COSA started. COSA started by us reaching out to cult boys, drug addicts. We didn't go for normal people. In 1998... there was a serious pandemic in Nigeria. And it was in schools. There were few schools at the time. There were no private universities. There were few schools. And graduates were so many. So for some courses, you could be talking about quarter of for University of Illinois that I went to, 240, 260, 275. And they must even look at your catchment. So there were hoodlums on campuses that would meet parents and say, don't worry, I work for that registrar, I work for that person. If you give me this X amount of money, I can do admission for your kids. And some people fell prey. Lagosians wanted that school. And they gave them admissions. They gave them matric number, they did matriculation. Only for them to get the 400 level. I found out that the admission was fake. Many of them couldn't go back home. So they were the ones that hung in school and drank cult and started selling drugs and started, they couldn't go back home. What would I go and tell my parents? So they wanted to do deals so that they can travel out. And There were lots of deals going on. People want to carry cocaine. Several things were going on. So when I gave my life to Jesus Christ and I finished and everything, I couldn't pretend that I didn't know what was going on there. And there were places Christians couldn't enter. But because of my past, now that I'm a Christian, I raised people that we went to those places and started reaching out to people. Myself and Pastor Modele will go there and preach from morning till night every single day. That was what we did for a living. And we will encourage them to go do this A-level course called IGMB. Some of you met it. It's what was called SBS in those days. So if you did it for 9 months and you had good grades, you will be able to join them back in 200 levels. Many of them, COSA paid a lot. It was 35,000 naira. Ah! That was a lot of money. A flat in Ilorin was 18,000 naira. This cost was 35,000 naira. So my message, the message trending in 1999, 2000, 2001, was invest, open a business. I told my church, don't do no business. If I catch you do business, face your book. Did you know that we had extra morals on Saturdays in our church? See, if you are determined, you will succeed. On Saturdays, we'll do prayer and people will teach other people. We had cell leaders that their preoccupation was to make sure nobody failed. Testimonies was, oh, my assessment was this, my this. Who cares how much you, what did you wear? Who cared? You must know where you are on your timetable. I have contemporaries that their testimony was, oh, I'm the one praying for that commissioner. I'm the one praying for that PAMSEC. It wasn't my business. I focused on those people. First thing that shocked me was that some of these guys, the moment they passed the A-level, and because I went to Unimarin Primary School, Unimarin Secondary School, the entire community knew me. I did admissions for many people. I was almost there. My mom walked there. I could shut my eyes and walk through the campus. The moment we got admission for them, we now take them back to their parents. To tell them that admission was fake, but he's already in two. He's born again. I'm the pastor. Come on now, we found out. A lot of them were rich kids. One of them was 30 years old in year 2000. 30 years old. He was a Black Hawks member. I went to preach to him. He told me later, like 4 years after, that day he smoked hemp. That after smoking hemp, he would commit suicide. He just slept off. I was the one that woke him up. When he met his parents back, the parents said, look, he's our firstborn. We've been looking for him. He shouldn't go to school. Then when Cyber Cafe was trending, he was one of the first. His father opened it for him. He said, he needs to marry. We want our grandchild. I'm telling you how COSA started. Are you all still here? Those who graduated, I say this under God, I lie not. First class was like water. 2-1. LNG, Shell. They changed this church. They made it a wealthy place. Which FEC is COSA? What? Co-what? Of us who are looking like broke. If I see your consistency and you're on track, it's a matter of time. And there's overtaking. I said there's overtaking. And guess what? Your next level will fit you because you would have learned a lot of stuff. And you'll not be half-baked. Let me tell you something. 90% of all these rich, quick concepts are lies. I'm not saying one or two people don't make it out of it. But 90% are lies. Stop wasting your time. And Abuja here just chasing... there's somebody that wants to buy crude oil. This is the allocation. So we need some white people are coming. They need allocation from this. They need this. And you have family. Some of you don't even have family. You are so young. That's what you are doing every day. It's different from if you say, you know what, I want to go into oil business and I'm selling diesel. There are people in church that are doing stuff. Tag with one and say, sir, just give me one tanker. I'll return the money. Can pastor guarantee you? If we can guarantee you, we guarantee you. If we can't, start working for him first. Show your integrity. There are kind people in this church. Somebody who is very well-to-do told me, said, this church, they don't want to work. Give us money. I know you're not here. Everybody here is diligent in Jesus' precious name. That was many years ago. We had people who woke up and went to the Hilton. Rub powder, gym, dress wear, put glasses, airport. I sit at the Hilton. How can you be wasting the prime of your time? You can't do that. God will not be happy with you. The first gift God gave to man was work. You must be excited about your work. You know, I read about a man today who won $1 million lottery and gave everything away. They asked him, why would you do that? He said, I love my job. That money is going to disturb you. Please don't be like that. That money is going to distract me from my job. He's on $20,000 a year. So that's all I need. Amen. First Corinthians 9 and verse 16. Quickly, I need to run. For if I preach the gospel, I have nothing to boast of. For necessity is laid upon me. He took it to another level. He said, cursed be me if I don't preach the gospel. There are people who preach the gospel because of money right now. He said, woe is me if I don't preach. Guys, I am not going to say woe is me if I don't preach, but there's nothing that can happen to me that will not let me preach. Nothing. Nothing. I passed that level. Why? Because I was born for this. I didn't stroll into ministry. I didn't break away from a church. I was born for this. What am I going to tell God? So what is that thing that you are passionate about like this? That is not about money. That passion and zest and drive is what will bring the food on your table, put clothes on your back. There is nothing anybody can take from you. Because your drive towards it wasn't because, oh, it's trending. That's what everybody's doing, so let me do it. And I'm not saying you can't take advantage of something happening like that, but if that's what you're living for, then you're not living for much. So necessities lead upon me to preach. So in fact, woe is me if I don't. That's why you must be instant in season and out of season. No matter what is going on, you must have something that you are born to do. There's a guy in Koza. He told me he wanted to go into media. I was so excited. His mom sponsored him to go to South Africa. So we were passing through South Africa. We went for a holiday. I can't remember. So we saw him. It broke my heart when he told me that, Pastor, I'm not doing media again. I said, come on. I thought you would do media so that the body of Christ can have someone who can do something nice, that can stand shoulder to shoulder with the world system. He said, Baba, let me tell you the truth. The people in my class, from age 6, they knew they would do media. Their parents already put them in line. I was already 24, using one old brain to be doing. So I was getting average. I just went back into my engineering. Once you know what you want to do from now, plug in there now. And stay there and start pushing. Don't be pushing. Don't put your hand on the plow and be looking back. You're not fit. I was trying to do a property and I was looking at several houses that could inspire me. I saw a house. I almost fainted. Guess who owned it? A bass guitarist. He played for Michael Jackson. He was a major person that Quincy Jones would call to put bass line on anything he's producing. Be that person. If they are thinking of who will supply stones, be the person. Because of your expertise, your professionalism, you are not going to go to people and be cutting corners. You build your integrity. You build for the long haul. That people give you jobs and go to sleep. Nothing like persistence. Nothing like persistence. Nothing like persistence. Nehemiah, I just want to give you an example as I close. He was not a prophet. Are you bored?
No, sir.
Nehemiah was not a prophet. He didn't have the rugged doggedness of Elijah. He was not a building engineer. He was not a king. He was not a warlord. He was just somebody who was a slave taken into Babylonian captivity, and God gave him a break. So, assume US came to Nigeria now, they attacked us, burnt down Nigeria. They now took a few people, and then when they got there, they now said, this one looks brilliant. They did the IQ test, and then you passed, then they took you to school and gave you citizenship. Will you ever remember Nigeria? And you know, for many years, he got promoted. He got promoted to the point that the king will not put food in his mouth until he tasted it. How did he build trust to the level that King Artaxerxes, that ruled the world, will not taste food in Shushan except Nehemiah tasted it? There was a rule that if you stood sad in front of the king, he could kill you. But the passion he had for his kingdom, the passion he had for Jerusalem, because his brother Anani had brought the news to him to say that the wall of Jerusalem was burned. And he was sad, he couldn't hide it. And the king said, what's happening? I've never seen you like this, Nehemiah. He said, sir, can I see you privately later? And told the king, please, can I have a sabbatical leave to go and build the wall of Jerusalem? When he got to Jerusalem, he had the authority of the king to the bush to be able to cut beams and everything, because having been, you know, a top person in the States, coming to Africa, doors were just opening for him. Let me say something to you. Your work may not necessarily be your calling. Your work may be a seed to your calling. God did not use Ezra to build it. Ezra was the one teaching the people the law. He didn't have the connection. Ezra did not have the open door, didn't have the expertise, didn't know how to put administration together. There are things pastors will never be able to do in the kingdom of God. It takes us to raise people. People who understand the system and they penetrate it for the kingdom's sake. Look at your neighbor, say, I was born for this. When it started, of course, the city had been in ruin for so long. There was no success. But in Nehemiah chapter number 6, suddenly, there's success. Can I quickly say something to you? Please, if you're not paying attention, give me some few minutes and let me quickly tell you something. Because you may be in the middle of what I'm sharing right now. And what I mean is that, in case you are discouraged, you came to church down, you came to church discouraged, you are the one that God sent me to tonight. You know why? People you love are bad-mouthing you. People you sacrifice for are talking against you. People you rested on have become a thorn. And you're like, what is this world about? Whispers all around you. People talking down on what you've done. The boss you sacrificed for got the glory alone. You are the one I'm sent to tonight. Be persistent. Be consistent. Maybe you're here today. You are ready to compromise your faith. Be persistent. In Nehemiah chapter number 6 and verse 1, quickly, very quickly, I'm going to verse 10, so we need to run. Now it happened when Sambalat and Tobias and Geshem, the Arab, and the rest of our enemies heard that the wall that I had rebuilt the wall. When there was no result, listen to me and listen close. If you are praying for success and you want to succeed, please prep yourself for some level of attack. Right now you think you have people's skills. You've not succeeded. I'm not talking about the fact that when you have money, you succeeded. Start doing things. Let a building stand in this city and has your name on it. Let a street, let there be major things on ground. Let people in your industry begin to think, how does she do it? Then you will know what is called king-size problems. Because human beings naturally cannot just handle some people doing better than them. So the Bible says, when they heard that the wall had been built, that there were no breaks left in it, though at that time I had not hung the doors in the gates. Verse 2, then Sambalat and Geshem sent to me saying, I don't know if you've read the book of Nehemiah before. Before now they had said, oh, even if a fox walk on that wall, it's not going to stand. But now that he ignored them and built it, tap your neighbor and say, ignore your adversaries. When they said to him, come, let us meet together among the villages in the plain of Ono.